Hey, Tenderfoot listeners. I'm Liam Luxon, host of Status Untraced, a new podcast brought to you from the team behind Up and Vanished. It follows my investigation into the disappearance of Justin Alexander, a survivalist and world traveler whose life seemed like it was torn from the pages of an adventure novel. While some of Justin's friends and family believe he may have been murdered, it's not clear what actually happened. And a message he left behind just days before he vanished makes everything about his disappearance just strange. Check out this clip featuring one of Justin's friends and their recollection of their final conversation with him.
It was one thing that kind of made me feel weird about whenever he'd talk about his plans for India. And the more I've thought about it, especially over the years, it almost seemed like he was preparing for something because he wanted to be famous. He made that openly clear, like that was his end goal.
When you hear the message Justin left behind, when you hear about the remote and dangerous area where he went missing, when you learn about how the suspects and the police's efforts in this case all quietly started to fade away, you won't be able to stop wondering what happened. From Tenderfoot TV, Status Untraced is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts or subscribe to Tenderfoot Plus to binge the entire season ad-free. Learn more at tenderfootplus.com.
All right, can I just talk?
Yeah.
Okay. So, is it okay to say the name?
Yeah. Okay. What about?
So, what I hear is that he's involved too.
It's all easy. Terrible.
It's all right, can I just talk?
Yeah.
Okay. So, is it okay to say the name Bo Dukes?
Yeah.
Okay.
What about?
So, what I hear is that he's involved too. I knew Bo was crazy. I knew he was off.
Okay, this is kind of weird. There's another kid that they're looking for, same age. His name is. There's another kid that they're looking for, same age. His name is Bo Dukes, with an S.
Today marked the last time anybody reported seeing or talking to Tara Grinstead.
Officially, police are calling this a missing persons
GBI
case.
GBI officials say investigators
are found
$80,000 reward is being offered.
Where
information.
Is Tara Grinstead?
From Tenderfoot TV in Atlanta, this is Up and Vanished, the investigation of Tara Grinstead. I'm your host, Payne Lindsay. Before we get started today, I have a very important message to share with you. I have an official statement from Marcus Harper's attorney, and he asked me to share this on the podcast. Marcus Harper's attorney says the following. My client sends his sincerest condolences to the family of Tara Grinstead, especially her father and stepmother, for their tragic loss. He also extends his appreciation to the Georgia Bureau of Investigation and local law enforcement for their tireless efforts to determine the identity of parties involved in this case. He asks that the public, and especially the media, respect his privacy and that of his loved ones as they begin the process of closure. Sincerely, Cody Daniel. A few weeks ago, just hours after Ryan Duke's arrest, I was sitting in my car in Osceola, and I gave Dr. Godwin a call.
So how many more people are involved in this thing, are we thinking?
Possibly Bo Dukes with an S. Ryan Dukes without an S and Bo Dukes with an S. But if I hear anything else, I'll let you know. You take care now.
You too.
There's been a lot of speculation that Ryan Duke couldn't have killed Tara alone and then gotten away with it for 11 years. People kept suggesting to me that he wasn't the brightest guy, much less a criminal mastermind. I knew the GBI was still investigating other suspects, but the pieces started to fall in place when I got a call from, believe it or not, my dad.
Yeah, so this is what happened. A good friend of Jeremy's was out in Texas yesterday, and met this guy out there. It turns out this guy met is from Osceola. The guy said, I've been contacted by the GBI because they said they found Tara Grimstead's body in my pecan grove. But anyway, Jimmy is going to give me phone number. That's who told Jimmy this.
He listens to
the podcast. Yeah, he listens to the podcast. So he's up on who you are.
Okay, what's the number?
I called this person who requested to remain anonymous. The pecan grove he was talking about belonged to Randy Hudson. He also mentioned that Randy Hudson's nephew was now missing. That nephew was Bo Dukes.
My dad texted me and said, hey, they found Tara Grinstead's body on this pecan grove.
Was it Hudson by chance?
It was Randy Hudson.
And Bo Dukes is kin to the Hudson. The Hudson family in Osceola, that's probably one of the most prominent families. I mean, Hudson Pecan, yeah, there's a lot of money in that family. This is going to be really interesting.
As it turns out, the rumor of this pecan grove in Fitzgerald wasn't far off. The GBI streamed into the Hudson family's pecan grove in Fitzgerald, and sirens whirred as officers searched for evidence. But the sobering reality of it all was that they were searching for Tara's body. And here I was, hoping that the pecan orchard search would end with answers. But at the same time, I knew that finding Tara's body would finally make her murder a reality.
More than 40 GBI agents swarmed a pecan orchard in Ben Hill County this afternoon. They were digging for clues to help solve one of the state's most notorious missing persons cases.
The search for the body of murder victim Tara Grinstead led investigators to this South Georgia pecan orchard in Ben Hill County near Fitzgerald.
We watched a parade of GBI trucks and other vehicles leave this pecan field. Anthropologists used specialized equipment to sort through the dirt, hoping to find skeletal remains of the missing former beauty queen.
Randy Hudson, the owner of the pecan grove, spoke to a local news station after the GBI search broke.
Well, what I'd like to say is, first, our most sincere prayers go out to the Grimstead family. I'd also like to say that we are cooperating with the local sheriff's agency and the Georgia Bureau of Investigation in regards to this matter on our farm.
Yeah, they had our helicopter flew over yesterday, and they got quite a setup out there in the middle of the field.
That was Tony Thomas, a reporter for WSB-TV's Channel 2 in Atlanta. They were first on the scene at the pecan orchard in Fitzgerald. While he was there, he was able to speak to Special Agent J.T. Ricketson from the GBI, who's in charge of the Grinstead case. Tony asked him a few questions about the investigation, and he got back some pretty interesting answers.
He didn't have a lot, except I think he mentally slipped up at one point.
Okay.
Because he said, we are interviewing, quote, others who were involved. And later I asked him to clarify, and he wouldn't. He said, I'm not going to speculate on any more arrests. But I think that accidentally slipped out.
Officially, the GBI hadn't said there was anybody else involved in Tara's murder. But J.T. Ricketson's slip-up suggests that maybe they know more than they're telling us. One of Ryan Duke's old high school buddies called to talk to me about his relationship with Ryan and how he didn't think he had it in him to do this thing alone.
Like, I haven't really processed it yet. Like I said to you, Ryan and I were really tight. Just having a lot of trouble accepting it. Just feel like I know him too well to know that, I don't want to suppose anything. I don't want to rule out his role in something, but he's just not alpha enough to do this. He's a big coward, and I just don't see this going down the way that it seems to be right now. So I'm really curious, like, what more information you may have that may mention a few names that are running through my head, because I just know this guy pretty well, and I just don't think he's capable of being the sort of mastermind of such an event, even if it's an accident or whatever. I just don't see it. Basically, our friendship was just hanging out on the weekends. It progressed from, like, drinking and staying out up late to, like, smoking weed. And then once I got to Athens, which that was weird for a friendship like that, because Ryan's got no sort of aspiration of. And when you, like, go through life with the kind of, like, depressed state, like, he's Eeyore, man. He is Eeyore. He is, like, the saddest dude. And for me, as an 18-year-old, I was sad and angry, too. So that's, like, what we bonded over. I had a real weird childhood. I was raised by my great-grandmother. So it was unique. And then Ryan came from, like, a divorced family, and his brother got to live with his dad, which, you know, I don't know. There's got to be some kind of, like, equation that's always in your head, like, am I equal to my brother? Is my love for my mom equal to my love for my dad? You know, like, a weird childhood. And so he was dealing with that. So despite that we were from kind of, like, different sides of the tracks or had done different things at our respective high schools, I think probably the only thing in common was we had both played high school football at least some of our time. But, like, I'm into, like, academic stuff, and he's into just kind of getting by. But we clicked over this kind of, like, funk or fear of the upcoming, you know, girls down there, they want a strong, like, tractor driving, you know, like, tough guy, like their dads or whatever. And Ryan's a softy, and I think it had a lot to do with, you know, his situation, his parents' situation. And he didn't deal with it in healthy ways. Like, he drinks a lot. And again, I don't know 2016 Ryan, but I'm just telling you based on the trajectory he was aiming at that, you know, he's probably still drinking a lot and he's probably still smoking a lot of cigarettes and just kind of like, woe is me.
After reminiscing on their high school friendship, he told me that he and Ryan kind of lost touch after he'd left for college at the University of Georgia in Athens. He then told me about one of the last times he'd interacted with Ryan. It was kind of a weird situation, a time that Ryan called him out of the blue. A few years after he moved away from Osceola.
And I remember he called a couple times, and I was, like, in the building. So I stepped outside, and I answered, and it was just, like, the same old, you know, hey, buddy, that morose tone that, okay, things aren't going well in his life, you know, lay it on me. And he really just wanted to tell me that he had, like, hooked up with a girl I dated. And I don't even know when. I don't think it was, like, while we were dating. It was, like, but regardless, it was way in the past. And he was, like, just doing one of these, like, conscience cleanses. That's another thing that's troubling me is, like, Ryan Duke keeping this secret for, 11 plus years? Like, it just is, it doesn't fit with the person I knew. And you heard me, I only knew him for, like, two and a half years, but I feel like I really saw, you know, most sides of him. And I don't see this. I'm, like, trembling thinking about it. Like, I just don't see it. But I know somehow I grew from being, like, friends with Ryan Duke. You know, I somehow got motivated to be whatever it is I am now. So, I don't know. It's rough. And, I mean, you could just see it coming, you know. You knew you were probably going to get stuck with him, you know, if you stuck around, if you stayed closer. I could see it coming to, like, a desperate point where, you know, he just feels like he has no other option than to steal from someone. But I can't understand the violent part because I just didn't see any glimpse of it. And actually, the friend who texted me is saying, like, hey, have you seen the Albany News yet? They had a press conference. That friend was like, why are you hanging out with these guys? I knew that they were kind of a riffraff crowd and not really, you know, a vicious crowd, the type that can, you know, bring you down.
When you say they, who are the other friends?
I do say they. So I met him and Bo Dukes at the same time. I was closer with Ryan, but to be honest, they were pretty much a package duo.
On Bo, though, like, what was he like?
I think Bo always tried really hard to, like, be eccentric and have these really random, insightful thoughts. But then combined with that was just this real laziness. I know that he's stolen from people. I didn't click with him because I just couldn't relate to him. He didn't come from struggle because Grandpa was a senator or state senator or whatever. And so, like, he just kind of could have whatever. He would just, like, fuck up opportunities. Bo would just – I could see him just, like, doing a line of coke and then saying something stupid like, let's do this dumb idea. Like, that I'd buy so much quicker. And that's not fair. I just completely threw a theory out there that's complete supposition. But it's just, like, he was way more unhinged. Not that I ever saw anything of violence or anything like that, but he would care more about himself, less about other people. And I think that's probably what I'm getting at when I'm saying I didn't see that side of Ryan. I saw a bit of care in Ryan. Ryan would have conversations with my grandma, but would walk past my grandma. So if I just have the two suspects in front of me, like, mm-hmm. there was a bit of a selfishness and a soullessness that existed in one that I would not have ever accused the other one of having.
Hey listeners, it's Mr. Ballin here, and I'm here to tell you about my brand new podcast. It's called Mr. Ballin's Medical Mysteries. Why medical mysteries? Well, we've all been there. Turning to the internet to self-diagnose our inexplicable pains, debilitating body aches, sudden fevers, and strange rashes. Though our minds tend to spiral to worst-case scenarios, it's usually nothing. But for an unlucky few, these unsuspecting symptoms can start the clock ticking on a terrifying medical mystery. Like the unexplainable death of a retired firefighter whose body was found at home by his son, except it looked like he had been cremated. Or the time when an entire town became ill with nausea and chills, and the local doctor chalked it up to being food poisoning until people started jumping from buildings and seeing tigers on their ceilings. Each terrifying true story will be sure to keep you up at night. Follow Mr. Ballin's Medical Mysteries wherever you get your podcasts. Prime members can listen early and ad-free on Amazon Music.
Ever since Ryan Duke's arrest, all I was hearing was his connection to Bo Dukes. How they were kind of a package deal. And of the two, Bo was actually the more volatile one. While I was still in Osceola, I drove by Bo Duke's house to see if he was home.
Yeah, here's the hall door, right?
Yeah, keep going and it should be the next road to the right. It's going to turn on Apple Street.
I wonder if he is gone.
But he wasn't there. I was really conflicted about what to do. I was 99% sure that Bo was involved, but I felt like it was too early for me to mention his name in the podcast.
I think it's true. I think he's involved somehow, but I don't know if they're going to be charged again. I don't know.
Since I've heard Ryan Duke, I've heard Bo Dukes with an S.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like... It's true.
We've heard it from too many people.
All you have to do is...
In keeping with journalistic ethics, I decided to just censor his name, giving him the benefit of the doubt. But now, the cat is out of the bag.
A second suspect is now facing charges in the disappearance of Tara Grinstead, Bo Dukes.
Not one, but two former students from that school under arrest.
Bo Dukes is charged with tampering with evidence, concealing a death, and hindering the apprehension of a criminal.
A classmate of Ryan Duke, Bo Dukes, whose family is well known in the community. Investigators say they believe a Bo Dukes helped destroy Grinstead's body and hide it in the Pecan Grove in Fitzgerald.
The confirmation I've been waiting for. Bo Dukes was involved. I called Maurice to see how he was taking all of this. So much had happened in this case in a matter of days, and I wanted to hear his reaction. After working a case for almost 12 years, what did it feel like to finally have some answers?
I'm just in shock over it.
I think the investigation is still going on. Yeah, it's just a very odd situation, and there's more to it. It's somebody that did not have a criminal record, no learned experience of breaking in people's houses, no learned experience of criminality, did not do this as a random thing. They just didn't.
I just can't figure out why Ryan was at her house that night.
That's the thing. He didn't walk around or riding around and say, yep, I'm going to choose that. Because in the past, I mean, unless he got by with a lot of stealing and burglary in the past, he didn't have a criminal record. And I doubt he got by with it. And he just didn't do that one, choose that one night to do this one thing. He went there with a purpose for somebody, or he went there with a purpose himself, and it got mad and something turned nasty. Why did he choose her? I think he had more help, too, from Bo than what is being said. Here's the thing. Bo's not charged with anything in Irwin County, and Ryan's not charged with anything in Ben Hill County. See, Ryan is not charged with anything that Bo is charged with. Now, he could be. He could be, but he's not. So if Ryan was out in Ben Hill at that pecan orchard, why just not throw those charges in there? So he just passes a body off to somebody, his friend, and lets him handle it.
And his friend just says, okay, no problem.
That's right. In my opinion, both of them were in this thing equally together. One just saw a way out with lesser time. And that happens a lot of cases. The person who actually did the crime make it seem like that the other person did it, and the person did the seriousness of the crime, turns state's evidence and gets lesser time because they're the one that caught the plea first. Yeah, that happens all the time. Yeah, it's an odd situation. I don't think it's over with by any means.
Is any part of you relieved?
I'm elated. I'm thrilled that arrest has been made and stuff like that, but I feel a whole sadness, and then I feel emptiness. It's like running 200 miles an hour, it hit the brick wall, and nowhere to go.
Even with all the recent developments in this case, it still struck Maurice as strange. The fact that Ryan randomly picked Tara's house to burglarize that night, with no previous criminal record. And the fact that he apparently pawned Tara's body off to Bo, who willingly helped him dispose of it, with no regard to his own criminal involvement. It all just seemed too unbelievable. Who were Ryan Duke and Bo Dukes really? I felt it was time to dive into their past a bit more. Like Maurice said, Ryan has no criminal history. But as for Bo, it's a different story.
In April of 2013, Bo Dukes and his wife Emily pleaded guilty to stealing more than $150,000 from the United States Army. Dukes, as a unit supply specialist for the U.S. Army, ordered televisions, cameras, power tools, copper wires, and other property, and then fraudulently billed the merchandise to the Army through the General Services Administration. After having the items delivered to his personal residence in Savannah, Georgia, Dukes and his wife would pawn them off for personal financial gain. Dukes was sentenced to 27 months in federal prison, 3 years supervised release, and was ordered to repay more than $134,000 to the federal government.
Bo Dukes has been arrested, but before he was arrested, just a few weeks ago actually, he was showing some very interesting behavior.
The two men charged in connection to Tara Grinson's 2005 murder, Bo Dukes and Ryan Duke, are no strangers to each other. After Ryan Duke's arrest, podcast presenter Payne Lindsay says people started opening up to him, so he started trying to verify their statements, then noticed something eerie on his podcast site.
Bo Dukes has been trolling the Up and Vanish discussion boards.
We looked to see if we could find the comments left by Dukes. but because users remain anonymous, we couldn't see what exactly he said.
But luckily, that's what screenshots are for. Yep, right before he was arrested, Bo Dukes, who's now facing three charges in connection with disposing Tara Grinstead's body, held his very own little Q&A session right here on the discussion board of the Up and Vanish website. On the Up and Vanish discussion board, Bo Dukes used the name AAA in all caps. How do I know it was him? Well, he proved it himself. He posted a selfie on Twitter, facing the mirror with his hand sticking out. Then, in a separate close-up picture, you could see the date written in pen on his palm. Among other things, Bo Dukes graciously declared that I didn't owe him an apology, but he did accuse me of being biased and, quote, downright false in my interviews. But the highlight of his stint on the discussion board had to be this. He wrote, "I think the GBI has done a great job. Justice is a finicky thing and subjective." Yep, it sure is. If you listened to last week's case evidence, you know that the judge in this case has issued a gag order. But since then, several prominent media outlets here in Georgia have filed a motion opposing this gag order. And this Thursday, there's a court hearing about it. I called up Philip Holloway, the defense attorney in last week's case evidence, to see if he could explain this whole situation a little better.
Well, the defendant apparently requested a gag order, and it was granted by the judge. The problem with the gag order is that it is extremely broad, and the news media has intervened asking the judge to narrow the scope of it because, for example, it's being interpreted by the court so that the court is saying that they can't even provide information to the media, information that's normally public record, and that's why it's probably unconstitutionally overbroad. They filed motions to intervene. It's a little bit unusual for a third party to intervene in a criminal case, which is the state versus a certain defendant. In high-profile cases, the media has a limited right to intervene when First Amendment principles are involved. The First Amendment guarantees the right to a free press, and it also guarantees individuals' rights to free speech. This particular order, for example, can be interpreted by friends of Tara Grinstead from even talking to the media about what she was like. This Thursday, the judge has set a hearing where lawyers for the various media outlets who have an interest in covering this case are going to ask the judge to clarify and probably ask her to narrow the scope of the order. Because the way it is right now, it affects people who don't even know that they may be affected by it. The judge could literally rule from the bench, and she could say, you know what, you're right, this is too broad, I will clarify it, and I will draft a more narrow order. She could take it under advisement, she could deny it from the bench, and she could ask the various media outlets to send her what they would propose in some type of an amended order. And then she could take all of that under advisement before she makes up her mind.
This coming Thursday, we'll be releasing a bonus episode covering this court hearing. And Philip Holloway will be here to do a Q&A with you guys. If you have any specific legal questions you want to ask Philip, then leave us a voicemail at 770-545-6411. And Philip will answer it this Thursday in the coverage of our court hearing. For a while now, I've been hearing rumors about parties that happened on the same pecan orchard 11 years ago.
We rode out of that orchard. And, you know, it was just a few people, maybe three trucks around the fire. The fire was on the north side of the field, and the trucks were south side of the fire. And I didn't really know them, but I knew one dude out there, and that was Bo Duke. You know, this Bo Duke, I'd always kind of heard about him and known about him through high school, and I didn't know hardly any of the people out there. The only person I could remember is Bo.
And I sat in his truck and I called this guy for probably an hour. We were talking about a fight that me and my friend that was there with me got into the previous year, 2004. Me and this guy kind of had a good little long conversation. And then something happened. Bo Duke got upset. I don't know if he was upset that we were out there or what, but we got kind of a funny vibe. And we just saw him get upset. We saw kind of a commotion at the back of the truck. He took his shirt off. I told Lewis, you know, let's go. Let's get out of here. We've been in trouble. Let's get out of here. And now that I see the pictures of this Ryan Duke guy, and I see where the pictures of where they're searching that orchard, and I've been going over for the last couple of days in my mind over and over again. And it seems to me like the guy I was talking to was Ryan Duke.
What kind of truck did he drive?
I'm to the best of my memory, a black single cab truck.
Thanks for listening, guys. As a reminder, there will be a bonus episode this Thursday. If you have any legal questions about the Grinstead case for our attorney friend Philip Holloway, please leave us a voicemail at 770-545-6411. Thanks for listening, guys, and see you soon.
Tenderfoot listeners. Laura Benson here with some exciting news from the Tenderfoot TV team. We're thrilled to announce that five of our hit shows have been nominated for this year's 28th Annual Webby Awards. This is such an incredible opportunity, and we're honored that so many of our recent podcasts have been recognized. Tenderfoot nominations include Dear Alana for Best Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Podcast, High Strange for Best Documentary Podcast, The Vanishing Point for Best Crime and Justice Podcast, Freeway Phantom for Best Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Podcast, and our show, Radical, for Original Music Score and Best Sound Design. We'd love to bring home the gold, but we need your help. Share your voice and cast your vote. Head over to our Instagram, at TenderfootTV, where we've shared the link to vote in our bio, or, for those of you with excellent memories, go directly to lnk.to/tenderfoot.webbies to vote now. Thank you for being a valued listener. And again, head over to @TenderfootTV to vote for your favorite Tenderfoot podcasts today.